following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
So good to see so many smiling faces out there today. Isn't it great that when you become a Christian, nothing bad ever happens to you? It's just smiles all the time. It's so, yeah. Anybody feel like that? No? Yeah, me neither. This past month has been a really difficult month. And not just for me, but it feels like for the whole church family. It seems like the church body has been treated kind of like a punching bag. Just one blow after another. And a good friend of mine passed away about 3 weeks ago. Brother who I love, he's 55 years old, loves the Lord, and he leaves behind a beautiful wife and kids, and you know, that was a pretty good blow there. I found out a few days ago that another brother who was super excited about this child that they were going to have, he told me that they miscarried. I found out about another family in the church that miscarried. Then you got COVID and COVID plus, right, Delta. And if that wasn't bad enough, we're watching on the news about the Afghanistan people and the Christians there and all that's going on there, the persecution that's there. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired. Like, life is hard. There is a famous philosopher named Rocky Balboa. He said, "The world isn't sunshine and rainbows. It'll beat you down if you let it. And nothing hits harder than life." So how are we to live when life gets hard? How are we to find strength? I do feel tired. Some days I just want to curl up in bed, pull the covers over my head, and just stay there. And then my wife just keeps elbowing me till I get out. But Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble." Thank God it doesn't end there. "But take heart, because I have overcome the world." The heart of that promise is that Jesus wants us to have peace, right? That's what he's offering us. He doesn't want me to hide in bed all day. He wants me to get up and he wants me to face the day. Now, the question is, how do we do that? How do we find peace in Christ in a crazy world like this one? And California seems to be kind of the craziest of them all, to be honest with you. I remember when I first became a Christian, I was playing Bible roulette because I didn't know how to read the Bible right. And I just kind of opened it up and there was 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I started reading about David, and I love David. David is awesome, just like Jesse's awesome. But I was reading about David and I was reading about this really terrible day that David had. First of all, his relationship with the Lord wasn't very good. He was living among the Philistines because he was sick and tired of being chased all around Israel by Saul, the king who wanted to kill him. And one day, as he's living among the enemies, he's coming home, he and his men. And as they're approaching his town, he sees fire in the distance. He sees smoke rising up. Now, I don't know about you guys, I get a little bit paranoid when I'm driving home and I see like ambulances kind of racing in the same direction. So I picture David and his men, they see the smoke and they're like, "Oh my goodness, that could be us. That could be our homes. That could be our families." And they start running. And I picture them throwing down their helmets and their armor and their swords and just running as fast as they can. And when they get to their city, their worst nightmares are coming true. Their homes are on fire. And worse than that, their families are nowhere to be found. Their wives are gone. Their kids are gone. That's a bad day right there. Now, these men, the Bible tells us that these men started weeping, right? These are soldiers. These are hardened, manly men. And they started weeping. And when we read that they wept and wept until they had no strength to weep anymore. And if things couldn't possibly get worse for David, it did. David's men, his boys, his brothers in arms, multiple arms. They started talking. They were kicking around the idea of, you know, maybe it's time to kill David. Maybe we should pick up these rocks and throw them as hard as we can at David. And David is now at his absolute lowest point, right? I can't imagine a time where he was lower than this. This had to be the worst day of his life. He lost his family. He lost his home. He lost his men. He's far away from God, and he's about to lose his life. But then we read this one verse. It's a good verse. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. It's a good one. It says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." And then if you've read the story before, you know how it ends, right? David gets up, his men follow him, they go, they track down the raiders that burned the place down, that took his wife and family, and in a really manly way, they wiped away the tears as well. And they go and they track these guys down and they get their families back. They fight. It's an awesome story, but as a new believer, I'm reading it, and the best part was overlooked. It said David strengthened himself in the Lord his God, but Samuel doesn't tell us how David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Like, that's pretty important, right? You want to know how that was done because we want to be able to do that too. Like, Popeye got muscles, right? Popeye got his strength when he did what? He ate spinach, right? I'm totally like dating myself right now, but it's okay. We know Popeye. We love him. Young people, I'll tell you guys about him later. But Thor has his hammer for you guys, right? But how did David get his strength? And it haunted me for years, and it wasn't until I was going through something really bad. We were losing our house, and then the Lord sprung Psalm 27. We're going to be in Psalm 27. I took the roundabout way to get here. But we're going to be in Psalm 27, and in Psalm 27, David is having another bad day. Wicked people are after him. It's possible that an army was surrounding him. And David had a lot of bad days in his life, so I'm not sure if this is in direct response to 1 Samuel chapter 30, but even if it is or even if it isn't, I think this psalm really gives us a glimpse into how David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He did it when everything was falling apart. And it's something for us to hold on to too, because we need strength. I desperately need strength. And I want to know, I want to study how these awesome men did it, because I want to be a copycat. I want to follow them like they followed the Lord. So if you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and open it up to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1, David speaking, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." I don't know about you guys, but this kind of feels like a pep talk to me. I played on enough sports teams to know, like, when the coach is trying to pump you up, right? It kind of feels like David is kind of talking to himself. He's trying to get himself going. Sometimes it feels like the only voice in our head is like that negative voice, the one that's putting us down. It's the voice of the enemy. It's the voice of condemnation. It's the voice of doom and gloom. But may that not be the only voice in our minds. May we always remind ourselves of the truth. May we strengthen ourselves with the truth of the Lord. Verse 1 says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. That is truth. David is having a terrible day. He is walking among really wicked people that want to do him in. He's walking through darkness. But he knows that the Lord is with him. He says that he is my light. When we're going through darkness and we got a flashlight or a lantern, what does that light do? It clears the path for us. It shows us what's in front of us so we don't trip, so we don't fall, so we don't get hurt. That's what David is saying here. The Lord is my light. He's the one leading me. He's the one guiding me. And he leads me. He's my salvation. He leads me to safety. He gets me out of my jam. It's so important for David to realize this, and it's so important for me and for you to realize this as well. Because when we are in difficult situations, I'm going to speak for myself, it is better, or at least my default setting, is to try to figure out a way out. Am I alone? I think about it. I obsess over it. I could lose sleep on it. How do I get out of this? How do I fix this problem? David is talking himself into saying, you know what? It's not on me. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. He's the one that's going to get me out. And then when we can embrace that, right? Not just say it, but really believe it, really hold on to it. There's a peace that comes with that. There's a peace that's attached to knowing that your Lord is your light and your salvation. David says, whom shall I fear? Right, I'm looking out and I'm seeing all these nasty mugs, right? They're all scowling at me. They've all got sharp swords pointed at me. But you know what? Whom shall I fear? David is reminding himself that God is in control and that he, David, does not need to be afraid. We have a lot of things that the world is telling us we need to be fearful of. But we've got this mighty God who makes these promises that he's going to stay with us, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We have to hold on to him more than anybody else. Let the truth of the Lord be the loudest voice in our heads. The next thing he says to himself is that the Lord is the strength of my life. I kind of like how the NIV says it. The NIV says it like this: the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Now that strong, that word stronghold, it paints a picture for me. A stronghold is a military term. It describes a place that is heavily fortified, right? Think really thick walls, really high walls, right? Muscly guys with big guns, you know, protecting it. Like that's a stronghold. It describes a place of great safety and security. And I'm sure that David, as a man who's familiar with the military, as a warrior that he was, he knows exactly what a stronghold is and how wonderful they are. And I love how he says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. My whole life, from beginning to end, is safe and secure because the Lord surrounds me. He protects me. I am hidden inside. I'm hidden in his love and in his might. So again, he says, what do I got to fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Isn't that huge? He's getting strength simply by remembering who his God is. And then in verse 2, he remembers the things that God has already done. He says, I remember how the wicked came against me. Past tense, they already came against me. I remember how my enemies and foes, they came after me. But what happened? They stumbled and they fell. What's David remembering? He's remembering God's faithfulness. That when David had problems in the past, God saw him through. In fact, David's greatest victory came from the confidence of what God did in David's past. When Goliath came on the scene, David was a kid, right? Some people think he was 14, 15 years old. And he said, I'm going to take him down. And they laughed at him. His brothers mocked him. King Saul told him, hey, you're just a kid. You're just a boy. Goliath is a man. Goliath is a warrior, right? You'll never kill him. You'll never beat him. And you remember what David said? David said, God has allowed me to kill a lion and a bear, and this Philistine is going to be just like one of them, right? Because he defied the armies of the living God. We get strength today by remembering what God has done yesterday. And they build on each other. When I remember what God did yesterday, I could do great things in the Lord today. And then tomorrow, I remember what happened today, and we just keep building and going, and God keeps working. So remember what God has done in your past, and let it give you the confidence to take steps forward. Look at verse 4. Okay, verse 4 is my favorite verse of the whole chapter. If you guys have your highlighters, highlight in your Bible. If you got your phone, they got the apps, and you could just, you know, like highlight on your phone digitally. I got a highlighter here. If your phone doesn't do that, you could just highlight on your phone with a real Sharpie or a real whatever. You got to do something because this is a good verse. Look at verse 4. David says, one thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing. That's what I'm going to seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So let me ask you, are you going through something really big, really heavy? Is there something that's causing you a lot of hurt, a lot of pain? Is it keeping you up at night? Let me ask you, what do you want God to do for you? What is your greatest desire in it? What are you seeking with all your heart? Do you want God to give you the winning lottery ticket, right? So that way your financial problems are done. Do you want God to remove that difficult person from your life? Do you want him to heal you? See, I don't know exactly where David was when he wrote this psalm, but David had a lot of trouble, and he could have prayed just about anything. He could have asked the Lord to get rid of Saul. He could have asked the Lord for just having a normal life. You know, I don't want to be king. I don't want to be hunted. I don't want to be in pain. I don't want to be away from my family. I just want a normal life, Lord. Can you do that for me? He could have asked the Lord to sleep in a bed instead of a cave. He could ask the Lord, you know, you promised me a kingdom. How about now? Can you give me my kingdom now? I'm tired of living with the Philistines. David says, one thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing, and this one thing alone will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord for all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of him in his temple. I know it looks like three things. He says one thing. What is that one thing? Why does David want to live in the temple? Like that's kind of strange, right? Like, is anyone living at Refuge? David wanted to live in the temple because that's where God's presence was. David's deepest desire was intimacy. It almost has the idea of a marriage, right? When you get married, you guys move in together, right? And then you get to wake up every morning and see her beautiful face, right? She's the first person you see when you wake up, the last person you see when you go to bed. You get to hear the sweet sound of her voice, right? There's an intimacy that is only shared between the husband and the wife, right? The kids are trying to mess it up. Don't let them mess it up. But the husband and the wife, they experience this intimacy that no one else really gets to enjoy. And I believe David's deepest desire here is, I want greater intimacy with God. I'm not looking for relief from my problems as much as I'm looking to get closer to the Lord, to live in his house, to be around him all the time, to see his beautiful, glorious face, to talk to him and to hear from him. And as for the problems, let me just say, they are real problems, right? I'm not saying sweep them under the rug, pretend they're not there, right? We have real problems in this life. But David is confident that God will take care of him. If I'm in the presence of God, then I'm going to be okay. They're going to have to go through him to get to me, right? Verse 5, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." When we are going through difficult times, we have a choice. We can worry. We could be anxious. We could be like me and try to solve our own problems. Don't be like me. We could hide under the sheets. Or we can hide in the Lord. We can have him hide us. We can escape into that secret place, that intimate presence of God. And it's in that place where we will find joy. In the presence of God, we will find joy. We can offer sacrifices of joy. We can sing praises to the Lord. Joy, this morning, Pastor Bill's wife, in our staff devo, she said something really cool. She said, "The enemy tries to distract us with our problems. If he can get us to look at our problems, then do you know who we're not looking at? We're not looking at him." And all of a sudden, these problems start to multiply and fester. They become bigger and bigger and bigger, a lot bigger than they need to be. Yes, we have problems. Yes, they're massive. They're way too big for us to handle. And if we were on our own, and if we did have to handle them on our own, then we're doomed. It's over. But thankfully, it's not on us. When we see that Jesus is with us, when we hold on to those promises that he's going to be with us, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. When we look back and we see our past and we see the faithfulness of him throughout our lives, and that we can trust him, not just with our problems, but we can praise him through our problems. We can have joy in the midst of problems. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to turn it into gear here. The rest of this passage, David actually changes gears. Starting in verse 7, there's a shift. David gets a lot more desperate. It's almost like he's begging. He says here in verse 7, he says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me into a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord." The first six verses almost seem like an equation. Right? This is what you got to do. This is what you got to say. This is what you got to believe. And then all of a sudden, David just kind of is like, you know what? I just need to throw myself at the Lord's feet. I need to beg the Lord for help. And maybe as he's in his presence, and maybe as he's talking to the Lord, he all of a sudden those sins, they start bubbling to the surface, and he sees that he's a wicked man. He sees that there's nothing good in him. He sees that he doesn't even deserve to be able to speak to the Lord. And all of a sudden, maybe he starts to be afraid. Lord, don't turn your face from me. Lord, don't be mad at me. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve anything, but please continue to be my help. Don't turn your face from me. You know, this is a prayer that someone in deep anguish could only pray. Right? This isn't like, oh, Lord, can you take care of this and I'm leaving. He's wrestling with his faith. He's wrestling with the Lord through this. And there's no pride. There's only humility. Lord, if you don't do this, I'm done for. So yeah, I'm going to remember how great you are. Yeah, I'm going to remind myself that you are the stronghold of my whole life. You are my light and my salvation. I'm going to remember all those times that you swooped in and saved the day at the last minute. But Lord, I need you to do it again. Lord, please do it again. So how do we find strength for the day? How do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God? Verse 14, we have to wait on the Lord. We have to be of good courage. And he shall strengthen our heart. And then he repeats it again. He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live this crazy life alone. I thank you, Father, that your Spirit, whom Jesus called the Helper, he lives in us. He dwells in us. We no longer have to live in a church or a temple, Lord. You dwell inside of us. And Lord, you strengthen us. And I pray, Father, that if there's anybody here who does not know you, if there's anybody here who does not have that strength, if there's anyone here who's doing life on their own, I know it doesn't work. I've tried. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that everything changes. May today be the day that they ask you into their lives and they follow you and you would accomplish great things in their life like you did with David. Lord, I thank you for these people. They are your beloved people. You love each one of them. You know them intimately. And I pray, Lord, that we would draw closer to you. I pray that we would have David's desires. Lord, I pray that we would seek you out, Lord, that you would be our goal, our all in all, that we would choose you over riches, over comfort, over sin. Lord, may you be first and foremost in our lives. And Father, I do pray for anybody who's hurting right now. I pray, Lord, that you would comfort and be their strength, be their rock, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And if anybody needs prayer, I'm blinded by this light, but is anybody over there? All right, good. There's people over there that would love to pray for you. So please take them up on their offer. God bless you guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life